This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Donald Trump started this campaign in 2014. He said, if I run for president, I will absolutely release my taxes. He's broken his first promise. He's broken his first promise.
And Mike Pence squaring off in the battle of the VPs. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Far, wide, and everywhere in between. I wonder how many people were actually plugged in and watching the undercard of this presidential election, because we have another Hillary Trump debate on Sunday. I'm wondering if some people bailed and decided, you know what, I don't really care about the VPs. I have to say it was pretty interesting. There was interruptions. There was the back and forth war of words, like the little tiny piece that you just heard there. So it was worth the price of admission, frankly, much better than I thought. But, you know, there is now a new tally. It's kind of like polls on who interrupts who the most. I guess Republicans say Tim Kaine interrupted Mike Pence and the moderator over 70 times. So this was a little bit different. Remember, before it was about how many times Donald Trump interrupted Hillary Clinton. And this is where we start on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Justin Duckham joins us now from just inside the Beltway, or outside of the Beltway, if you want to put it that way, because, you know, think Virginia, Washington, and talking about this RNC debate. Hey, how are, or the RNC side of it, the Democratic side, too. Hey, how are you doing, Justin?
Hey, doing pretty well. Great to be here.
So you were you at this debate, right?
Yes, I was. I'm calling you now from the filing center right by the debate hall.
What was the reaction to the debate afterwards? I was just talking about it, that there's the statistic about Kaine interrupting Mike Pence. That's what the Republicans are saying, 70 times.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I think that was something that a lot of people just didn't really expect. You know, as you were mentioning earlier, this was something that a lot of people thought was going to be much blander than it actually was. You know, prior to this, I was, you know, kind of describing it as a battle of the antacids. This was, you know, Pepto-Bismol versus Tums. But, you know, really, we saw them really going into it. We saw Kaine kind of assuming the mantle of attack dog. And then, you know, Mike Pence kind of doing the exact opposite and not really stepping up to the plate all that often to offer a full-throated, you know, defense of some of the more controversial statements that Donald Trump has made. So I think that kind of backfired to a large extent, something that the Clinton campaign probably did not really anticipate. Kaine made a lot of attempts to try to interject, to try to speak over, you know, Mike Pence. But ultimately, Pence responded by, more often than not, just kind of steamrolling calmly through the answers, something that I think ultimately made Kaine look you know, not very good. I think he came off at some points as a little bit frantic and just not the stronger, you know, individual on the stage.
Wow. So you think coming out of this, Pence would be kind of declared the winner for that reason?
I think that's certainly probably the way it's going to come off. And already with the flash polls that we're seeing, it's reflecting that. The, you know, big one coming out, you know, shortly after this among those who watched the debate was from CNN ORC, and they found that Pence was the winner of the debate by about 48% to 42%. So a pretty, pretty decent margin in favor of Pence.
Wow, how about that? So Donald Trump has loved it. I guess during the debate, too, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, but Trump, as you know, he tweets all the time, and he was tweeting during the debate, and he said that Kaine looked like an evil crook.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. You know, that was something that Trump had actually retweeted from somebody else. So, you know, I don't think we can give him the full credit for that one. But, you know, something that's been said quite a bit that, you know, I just about a whole myriad of politicians, just as kind of a common comparison to Batman villains. And, you know, not necessarily that surprising to hear it coming, but it is more surprising coming from the fingers, if you will, of the person who's at the top of the ticket.
Yeah, there you go. And before the debate started, there was some controversy about Bill Clinton. The White House was struggling to explain his critique of Obamacare, which obviously shows that there are some cracks in the Democratic Party over the health care law. So there were a lot of people I heard that were pretty upset over what Bill Clinton had to say about Obamacare.
Yeah, this is pretty shocking. You know, Clinton came out and said basically that Obamacare was the craziest thing he saw, just the fact that, you know, there is pretty much a system in place where, you know, people either get the benefits from the system or they get, you know, special subsidies and whatnot, but others are faced with, you know, rising premiums on their own. That's something that hasn't necessarily, you know, been a major shock to anybody. That's been a pretty big complaint for quite some time now, but it was pretty shocking coming from Bill Clinton. You know, the way I guess would be the most kind way to interpret it is that it was a pretty accurate reflection of what's going on right now. The fact that there are, you know, people who are covered but are not essentially catered to, and, you know, kind of plays into the fact that Clinton has been saying that she's going to be building off of, you know, Obamacare or health care reform and not necessarily overhauling it as, you know, Bernie Sanders has suggested. But either way, the rhetoric that Clinton used, Bill Clinton rather, certainly came off a lot more like the, you know, Bernie Sanders wing of the party than the administration or Hillary Clinton, who are frankly trying to, you know, tout this going into November.
Yeah, last time in the presidential debate, we were talking about Lester Holt, and people were complaining that he was lame and he was a terrible moderator. First of all, what was the background of this moderator, and what do you think the reaction is to how she did?
You know, to a large extent, this was an introduction to the moderator. This is embarrassing. I don't have her name written in front of me, and I guess kind of shows to a large extent how she's not necessarily a household name. So I apologize for that to your listeners. But overall, you know, not a very good response. This was a debate that had, you know, certainly gone off the rails quite a few times. You know, there was one point that I think kind of summed it up very well, wherein the moderator pointed out, and to reiterate, this was a question about North Korea following a several minute-long exchange over the Trump Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, the email issue, and just pretty much everything you can imagine except for foreign policy. So I think, you know, probably some low marks. And, you know, frankly, I think Lester Holt is going to be looking a lot, you know, stronger following tonight than he had previously.
Yeah, I guess her name is Elaine Quijano. I hope I'm saying that right. And she is the daytime anchor at CBSN. It's a CBS News 24-hour live stream channel. She never moderated a debate. She's, you know, somebody who has done a lot of journalism work. She joined CBS News, I guess, in 2010, Justin. But she is, like you say, she's pretty unknown. You'd have to dig up more about her to know more about her.
Exactly. You know, I don't necessarily think that's going to publicly change after tonight. Not to be too harsh, I don't think I could ever, you know, moderate a debate. And frankly, I would be terrified if anybody had the judgment of asking me. But this just was not, you know, this wasn't necessarily helpful, moderator.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Duckham, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, can you imagine being asked to be the moderator? He makes an interesting point. It would be nerve-wracking if you've never done it and nobody knew who you were. All right, stay with us. We've just scratched the surface. More on the debate coming up next.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent. I am my own superintendent, and my star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy go lucky. They say that I'm lucky.
Oh, if only. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, I love that. You got to love the sense of humor of Nathan Reeder. I'll tell you what, I wonder, standing on that stage, it's the opposite. These politicians get off the stage, and they have handlers galore that smother them and tell them they won. They were better. They were better. They were the best. So, you know what? It's a vice presidential debate, and let's just say this up front. It's a vice presidential debate, and we're going to get back to more analysis on it. However, we know that the show is what? Trump and Clinton. That's what people want to see. They want to see the train wrecks that happen, the war of words, all of that between the two of them. They don't want to see the two VPs they know very little about. But it does do something to maybe either further or hurt the candidates. Here you heard Justin Duckham say at the beginning that Kane lost the debate, that clearly that's what everybody was talking about, that he lost it by a few percentage points, but that it was all that interrupting that really, really brought him down, according to many in the media, because he was in the middle of the fracas. He was right there for everything that happened. He was at the debate, and that's the conversation that was had. We're going to jump back to that, but before we do that, to me, what's really buzzworthy around the country, and I have friends and family all over the Sunshine State, mostly on the West Coast, but I have a lot of friends on the East Coast of Florida, too, so I guess I shouldn't say that. And I've been going back and forth with five of them today, and they were telling me as these evacuation notices came in, I've got three friends that live in Charleston, and they're worried. They're worried because they're saying, get out, and they've already all gotten hotels. They've got these evac orders. And why do they have evac orders? Well, unless you've been living under a rug somewhere, then you don't know about Matthew. So much for it may veer away. Matthew is forcing the evacuation of more than a million people. And you know how that goes. If you stay, they put like an X on your door and tell you they do that because they need to know who's going to be dead when they come back. This is a Cat 4. At this point, it's smashed into Haiti, right? Made landfall near the tip of Cuba earlier in the evening. And it's brace time. Maximum brace for maximum force winds. If you're talking 140 to 160, good luck. And the National Hurricane Center knows it. They were worried. They were pumping out evacuation notices like nobody's business. I mean, bottled water off the shelves along the Atlantic coast, South Carolina, boom, that where my buddies are all from, looking for places inland, getting out. A very, very good friend of mine, a couple, they just moved into their dream house along the beach, bad timing, in Charleston, and boom, they're evacuating. So this thing is going to smash head on, it's looking like, into Key West, go up the eastern coast, smash into, or the Atlantic coast, smash into South Carolina. And they're saying this could be the worst that we've seen in at least almost a decade. If the top weather models are right, it would be a disaster for the east coast of Florida, from about West Palm Beach north, especially Interstate to Interstate 95 to Jacksonville. In fact, here's what the governor, Rick Scott, had to say about Hurricane Matt.
Hurricane Matthew is a Category 4 hurricane and it's deadly. Multiple people have already lost their lives by this major hurricane. We do not want to see another life lost. I want to see one life lost in our great state. Protecting life is our number one concern.
All right, and that's it. It is about protecting life. Property's property. It's sad. It sucks. It's awful. I've been through it. I've been through it on a small scale. I've seen people go through it. But you know what? If you got to pick up the disaster, but you don't have to pick up somebody's body, I'll tell you what, that's a much better way to deal with this. So a hurricane watch was issued Tuesday for parts of, you know, Florida. Like I just said, the areas on the East Coast are particularly dangerous. And again, you know, these hurricanes can veer in a different direction. So it was a hurricane. It's a hurricane from Mother Nature bearing down on Cuba and coming toward the east coast of the United States, but it was a hurricane of a different sort in this VP debate. In fact, we're going to let you hear a cut from Pence, Mike Pence, who many people thought was the winner, and of course Pence is on the undercard for Donald Trump on the Republican side, and here was what he had to say about one of the many issues that was tackled during the debate.
Donald Trump supports our veterans.
He won't pay taxes.
Donald Trump has paid all the taxes that he's... Do you not take deductions?
Gentlemen, this
How
is
does
a,
that work?
About Syria. I'd like to...
Honestly, Senator, it is about our troops. I understand why you want to change the subject.
Wow. Did anyone understand what was said at the last part of that? You can't even hear when they talk over each other. To the moderator's credit, she eventually did say that. Let's go out to Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Well, I think the question that we have to ask is why the change in tactics? Okay. Now, let's remember that when they did the polls after the first Hillary-Trump debate, most of the polls said that Trump won, but they, you know, some said that most of the experts, though, said that Hillary won, right? But,
right.
You know, when they asked the people, you know, and basically a poll after debate is really asking you, who are you going to vote for now?
Yeah.
You know, that's right. So, you know, I'm thinking that there was a huge, huge change in tactics tonight, because if Hillary had done so well remaining calm and goading Trump and everything. Why did they change the tactics? You don't change tactics if you're winning. I'm thinking that the Hillary campaign knows that they're in trouble, and they needed more firepower. Because, right, if they won the first one being cool and calm, why didn't they use that same tactic? I mean, Trump is out there, and he's really easy to hit on all the things he said about veterans and women and the taxes, right? Why not just say that under control instead of, you know, throwing some clown out there? It looks like he's trying to do a stand-up comedy routine. So I think the question is, why did they have that change in tactics? And I think the answer is because they think that they are not winning. I mean, you know, if this is like not like a boxing match. In a boxing match, if you think you can take the guy out, you can knock him down for 10 seconds in that first round, you win the fight.
Right.
A debate is not like that. You can win the first debate. You can win the second debate. But the people are going to remember the third debate. And I think Trump is learning. He's learning. He's going to learn from this debate. He's going to learn from tonight. He's going to learn from Sunday night. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse because the people, you know, if you go to a stand-up comedy, which is what the Democrats are throwing out there in the debate, you know, if you hear a joke, okay, that's funny. But if you hear the same joke the second night, and the same joke, people are going to get tired of hearing these little one-liners.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, at the end, you know, when they start talking about the taxes, that's when Trump is going to come with the big hook and the big overhand right. And when they say, you know, you haven't released the taxes, you know, he's going to say, yeah, but I didn't destroy my taxes like Hillary did, you know. And that, and what I did not cause the FBI to interrogate me for 6 hours. So, you know, he's going to come with the big haymaker in that third debate, and she will already have used up all her ammunition, and the people will be tired already of the same old little one-liners. So I just have to ask, why did they change, you know, the tactics? You know,
I think the interruptions really annoyed people watching the debate because you could hear that even from Justin. He immediately said that look what happened, that it was an annoying deal. And so that is an intriguing way to put it, Tomas. You're right. Why change the tactics so she doesn't have to do that? Thank you. Stay with us.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of the Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too. Scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
And it's strange to watch the things we had all fade away. It all seems so certain. It all seems so permanent. And I'm sure no one else suspected anything was wrong. It all seems so perfect. Our house is built on good intentions. Promise not to see it end this way. So unsure of what remains at home. Nothing left in common.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So what was buzzworthy about this VP attack? There was just as one report I read called it perfectly, an avalanche of insults. There were a lot of heated exchanges between Pence and Tim Kaine. The Democratic VP, and the Republican Mike Pence. We all know that, right? Somebody actually asked me that today, and I get it, because you just weren't hearing much about him if you're not in the flow of this, because the focus is Clinton and Trump, of course, right? So they definitely went after each other. And here's one slice of Governor Mike Pence from Indiana talking about the boys in blue and how important it is to have law and order.
Donald Trump and I are going to make sure that law enforcement have the resources and the tools to be able to really restore law and order to the cities and communities of this nation.
All right, and so that was kind of a big thing where they were going back and forth about that, and Tim Kaine saying that Clinton, of course, agrees on it. They were saying that naturally there's something that they agree on, and then Tim Kaine was defending Clinton's track record.
Sure.
She has a track record of working across the aisle to make things happen. And you know, Elaine, I have the same track record. I was a governor of Virginia with two Republican houses. And in the Senate, I have good working relationships across the aisle.
All right, so track records, taxes, Mexicans came up, and that word Mexicans was said like that. I mean, all of it, everything was pretty much out there for sure during this VP debate. I mean, this is a crazy campaign. It's like a snow globe. The snow comes down pretty when you shake it at first, and then you want it to go down faster, and you're shaking it all over the place, and it's whipping around with this, like, a wicked whirling dervish. This is a whirling dervish that we're in the middle of. Let's face it. That's what this is. And it is, and we're all rubbernecking. We're all rubbernecking, but it's such an important here. I mean, listen, to be the leader of the free world, can you imagine? And how much, it's not a fiefdom, so you're not your own entity. We have three branches of government, legislative, of course, executive, judicial. But there's a reason why we say, hey, you're the leader of the free world. You know, it's so interesting. Because if I go back and I think in my mind, I think John Cain and Sarah Palin in 2008. In the past, you know, it's the presidential candidates are the ones who had to sometimes defend their running mates. So John Cain and Sarah Palin, that happened to him. George H.W. Bush and Dan Quayle in 1988. Remember the whole thing, how he spelled potato? And this time it's not that. It's completely different with these two. And, you know, you can twist these polls any way that you want to in a sense. I still say it is just a coin flip. It really, really is. But check this out. So for the ratings, favorability ratings, they're just like they did for Clinton and Trump. The ratings were this. Pence, favorability, 37% to 31%, right? So according to the numbers, Pence, with his favorability, unfavorability rating compared to Cain, he was ahead of him in most of these surveys. But we got that second debate in St. Louis coming up on Sunday. And I don't know, I wouldn't be stunned if there was a reference to this debate, maybe from Trump, and then she references it too, Clinton does, with Cain. I don't know. I'm sure this is going to be part of what's talked about the next couple of days here and there on the campaign trail. But it really still is about this second debate more than anything else. In fact, there was even a Zogby poll that said Trump can overcome a bad week. And here's the thing. We are closer and closer to Election Day, but every cycle is different. And what Zogby is saying is that despite having a bad week and Hillary Clinton rising in the polls, it's not a done deal. He just has to be back on message. So if he does that, if he had a bad week, but then he has a good debate performance, he'll come back around from those numbers that fell off. Because now some of the conversation is Trump's $1 billion legal tax write-off. Does that hurt him or not hurt him? How many people care about the tax write-off, are stunned by it, stunned enough that they're going to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to vote for this guy now. I'm not going to vote now that I hear about the fact that he wasn't paying those taxes. And which, by the way, I'll emphasize this again, it was legal. So it was legal what he did, not paying those taxes, however many years it was in a row, legally, because of loopholes. I won't even call them loopholes. Because of how the tax laws are written, he took advantage of the tax laws. And when he was questioned about it, when Clinton tried to nail him on it, he said, I'm a good business person. So I really wonder if I think people, to me, most people, except for the independents, undecideds, and there's undecideds, I think most people have made up their mind or are close to making up their mind on who they vote for. I don't know that this, there's going to be a massive change in who they're voting for unless something unforeseen flies out of the sky that none of us could possibly wrap our brains around and we haven't thought about. That's something that could smack either one of them in, you know, in the head. I do have to say that perhaps one of the funnier moments on the day was the first lady was speaking in Charlotte. She was tapping the microphone because, remember, that was one of the things. And then it turned out there were some problems with his microphone in the first debate. But I have to say, it was pretty funny. I mean, sometimes you got to have some levity in this thing, right? And so there was a moment she did mock him because she was tapping the mic. Because he's mocking him for complaining about his microphone. So, because it was just days later, it was just a day later, really, that the Commission on Presidential Debates admitted after the first debate that there had been issues with his audio levels in the hall. And he's saying that Trump was saying he was intentionally given a defective microphone. And that's why that microphone didn't work. I think all the microphones are going to work. My prediction is on Sunday, all the microphones will work. What do you think? I think they will. I have a feeling. So what were the big takeaways from the presidential debate as I bring it back around to that? I watched it, of course. You can't say it. Whether you're a Democrat or whatever you label yourself as, or how about no labels, Pence looked a little better in the sense that he wasn't interrupting as much. He was smart to kind of stay that course because you couldn't hear in some cases because there was so much talk over each other that it made it tough to hear it. So I would give him high credit for that. How much of a boost it is, I mean, that's like another thing altogether. How do you decide in a VP debate of not complete unknowns, but not household names? You know, if Newt Gingrich, for example, if Newt Gingrich had been the VP choice, people know his name. People know who Newt Gingrich is, and he just was, you know, got massive TV time, too. So for what it's worth, that television time also just would raise awareness of Newt versus having a Pence. However, it's not that he's a complete unknown. And the bottom line is what I initially thought, that there would be these VPs that would have to ratchet up the card. It's been really the opposite. It's just defend as much as you can, more than anything else. So here's some of the key takeaways, I think. The interrupting thing is not good if you're interrupting too much because then you get knocked down on points. So I would say Pence, absolutely. You know, look, he was a radio commentator. He's skilled in front of the microphone, and he showed it. He was polished. He looked good. He was smooth. He was direct looking at the camera, and that was it. Kane was a little over-eager, zealous, whatever you want to call it, and that's how it looked on the split screens. It didn't look as good. So Pence did his job because he reversed some poor momentum for Donald Trump. So he would get, if I was scoring this debate, he would get massive points on style. That would be a very, very big takeaway. Very big. Maybe Pence is thinking about running in the future, thinking, I get in there, I'm the next guy in the door. So he was trying to be as presidential as possible. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, we're talking about a few numbers. With my head.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Introducing the fastest-growing digital currency company in the world, OneLife. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLife. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
Another edition of We Can Count, Home Runs, Hurricanes, and Secret Scanning. We start with the home run. Nothing, my friends, will give you goosebumps more than being in a ballpark, if it's your team, and watching a walk-off home run lifting your team into the playoffs. Let me say it again. Into the playoffs. There was no flight attendant on this home run. So Baltimore's season ended as Edwin Encarnacion's 11th inning blast. So it went to extra innings. High drama. Edge of your seat stuff. His blast sent Toronto into the ALDS, American League Division Series against the Texas Rangers. Because, yes, we are into baseball playoffs. And it happened in Toronto. So pretty exciting for the Toronto fans. They won the American League wildcard game with a 3-run jack and a 5-2 win. And the crowd was packed at Rogers Center. Who says they don't like baseball across the border? It's all about hockey. I don't think so. A big, big, big moment for the Toronto Blue Jays. And the crowd was just I mean, they were just elated. What a very big moment. So congratulations to the Blue Jays for that dramatic win. And the key thing here is they won. So they're in the playoffs. They take on Texas. Hurricane Matthew, dramatic in a much different way, smashing into Haiti, now hitting the tip of Cuba. 140-mile-an-hour winds. I looked at storm trackers from the National Hurricane Center just a few moments ago. Oh, my friends, to see trees bent backwards, never a good thing. If I saw it was coming and I was in Charleston, I would run for the hills because this does not look good. However, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's in the next few days, really Saturday, Friday into Saturday, that we'll see this, the eye of the Cat 4 storm making landfall, but not good. Torrential rains that could wreak havoc. It certainly is in Haiti wreaking havoc from that terrible earthquake 6 years ago. They're still not bouncing back completely from that. But with the storm tracking the way it is, the governor of Florida taking no chances, Governor Rick Scott sternly, and that's the perfect adjective to use, warning residents, listen, you stay, you die. He's declared a state of emergency. 200 National Guardsmen in place, 6,000 more on standby, big numbers. Evac orders issued already. They're starting to do that because he's right. They haven't seen that kind of devastation in a long time. And I was looking at video of Hurricane Matthew in Haiti, and it was nasty, just nasty. At Guantanamo, the Navy evacuated 700 spouses and kids of the service members there. You forget about that. In South Carolina, Governor Nikki Haley announced that coastal communities would be evacuated at least 100 miles inland on Wednesday, which is smart because that's where it's going to smack. It's going to smack on those shorelines, obviously. And looking at the tracking scan that I just saw, it's going to hit around South Carolina. It's expected to hit about 2 p.m. on Friday, then go further up the coast, and 2 p.m. the next day, Saturday, is when it'll hit. Well, actually, 2 p.m. on Friday, if the storm is as this newest model I just got in, 2 p.m. on Friday will be Florida, like West Palm. And then Charleston in that area especially will take a direct hit. That would be about 2 p.m. on Saturday. 11 deaths were attributed to the storm as of Tuesday in Haiti. In one video, a man shouted out in English, "Pray for us," as the hurricane lashed one of the small ports on the southwestern coast of Haiti. See, low-lying areas. That means flooding. That means mudslides. That's not good. Because you can only run so far when you're in Haiti. Where are you going to go? And when you start to see those trees bent back, like I said, you know it's bad news. So we move from Hurricane Matthew to Yahoo secretly scanning all of their users' incoming emails on behalf of U.S. intelligence. What? So check it out. Yes, Yahoo in April of last year began doing that. Hundreds of millions of users complying with an order from the U.S. intelligence community. Two company officials were so aggravated by it, so furious, they left the company. They decided not to fight the order from intelligence. And instead, I mean, even the chief information security officer, that's pretty top at a company like Yahoo. His name was Alex Stamos. He resigned last year. Somebody else in security resigned. They said ethical concerns about the surveillance program. I mean, that's unprecedented and unconstitutional, I would think. Scanning emails in real time? I mean, you want to talk about spy stuff. They're steeped in the middle of that. And what intelligence agency, we don't know for sure. the company fought a previous government request for information in 2007. They unsuccessfully argued, and they lost that one. So was that something to do with it? This time around, saying we're not going to, you know, we're going to be in trouble. We're not going to be able to beat this. The government threatened Yahoo with a $250,000 per day fine if it didn't comply. So Marissa Mayer's decision to obey the order last year upset some senior executives. So she didn't loop in the security team. She turned to the email engineers to develop the software. So she knew that was happening. Oh, my, oh, my. Already under fire for a myriad of other things. And now the ex-security officer is just tweeting out, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. All right, this is sickening. It will make your stomach turn, but I'm going to tell you about this because bad people like this need to be outed, although his name is all over the place. Now, a former Ohio mayor indicted on rape charges reportedly confessed that he had sex with a child, a young girl, who he says was a willing participant. So court records filed describe conversations in which Richard Keenan, who briefly served as the mayor, talked to several people, including his wife and a pastor, about alleged assaults that occurred over the course of 2 years, beginning in 2013 when the girl was four. Oh, boy. Anyway, he has been admitted into a psych ward in Warren, Ohio. That's in the group discussions. He said he had been sexually abusing a child for 2 years. And then that's how all of that came out. All of the stuff came tumbling out after that. So he was indicted and arrested on August 18th. He was released on bond the same day. And he is out on bond. Wow. I can remember this guy's name from before. He was sworn in as mayor in January of 2010, served until 2011. You know, before that, he was even a probation officer. He was a city council member. Just absolutely awful. So he's got a jury trial coming up in April. And, you know, it's interesting, Ohio, and part of the reason for bringing this up, his wife could be called as a witness at the trial. According to the Ohio Rules of Evidence, a defendant's spouse can be a competent witness if the alleged crime was committed against him or her with their child, or if he or she elects to testify. If found guilty, life in prison. Out into the Pacific. Thanks for listening to This Hour of America Tonight.
Making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1 G2.0 and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a Pro-Pure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized Pro-Pure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic Readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled AKASHICUniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.